The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sear here with you on a Thursday morning, Thursday, February 8th it is, and welcome to a nice, bright, sunny day again here in February. We get a whole week of it. We consider ourselves fortunate to have some actual sunlight out there. As I was driving in and going past Berkshire Hills Country Club, just a beautiful sunrise, you know, that really deep pink and blue that comes up in the morning. If you've never seen that, it's just a beautiful thing. Once in a while, you get to see it. So nice day out there. We have a great guest here today. We have Ricardo Morales. He is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. And you know what that means? We're going to be talking about, well, at least potholes. We know we're going to talk about potholes. But there's going to be lots of other stuff in there. There's a new version of the new edition of the newsletter out that is available on the city's website. We're going to be talking about that, some road projects and bridge projects and all kinds of good stuff coming up. Maybe a little talk about trash and recycling, too. Who knows? Who knows where this hour is going to take us? We'll see where it all lands. First, let's do a little bit of the weather, find out what is in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 40s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind around 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, so the sun comes with a little bit of a price because you get the 20s at night and the 40s and 50s during the day. And I think that's going to lead us into our conversation in just a moment here with Ricardo Morales. So, again, welcome to the show. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Good morning, Ricardo. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, as always. You're really great with your time being able to come into Morning Drive and talk with us about all the projects that are going on in the Public Works, Public Services Department of the city. It's a wide-ranging department, as we've talked about before. For people that aren't familiar, you know, you first think about roads, but then you get into all the other things that your department handles, water, wastewater,
right,
trash and recycling. There's all kinds of things under the umbrella of your department.
We do a lot, and it's what people expect a city, besides fire and police, to provide,
yeah,
services. So we have a wide-ranging portfolio of things we provide and, you know, services, and we try to do it as best we can.
Yeah, and it's a lot sometimes. It depends on the season, right? But there's always something going on. Normally, we might have our discussion about potholes, let's say, in April.
Right.
That would be traditionally the time when, you know, maybe late March, when things start to unfreeze and the water that was underneath the roads start to melt and the potholes form, and then you have to run out and take care of as many as you can before the asphalt plant opens in May, right? I mean, we've had that discussion before, and yet here we are in 2024, and we have some kind of different things going on, right? We have some of this stuff happening way earlier than it used to happen.
Right. Yeah, we have. We're seeing a lot more rain during the winter season. That means a lot more water quickly, mm-hmm, developing, you know, runoff, and we're seeing with temperatures dropping below freezing, mm-hmm, and then thawing the ground. That action of freezing and thawing, mm-hmm, is causing a lot of issues in our roads. It is a normal process. Our roads, you know, it's the best thing we've developed in terms of paved surfaces for traffic is is asphalt. It's very flexible. It is a flexible pavement compared to other types of, you know, concrete, for example, that is very rigid. It's much more costly.
Yeah.
Asphalt is a flexible pavement, and it allows for the for a little bit of move and give with temperature swings, freezing and thawing, and all that. But it is flexible essentially because the loads that a vehicle exerts on the road surface are not transferred along a wide area. They're very much local. So that means,
and you keep want that
in
mind. Right?
In terms of a flexible pavement, you really don't want that. So if you think about it,
so the roads would be better if we had all concrete roads.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. They would. But it is very costly.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
For a city like Pittsfield to have everything like that, I don't think any city has it in that way. So even, you know, not to mention Pittsfield, where we know our challenges and we know where our dollars need to be spent. So we have to maintain a certain level of service and yes, defer maintenance in certain areas, but at some point pick up that maintenance and bring that level of service back up. As I was saying, you have this more concentrated load on a smaller area. When you get water logged into these in between the road surface and the ground and the subsoil, in winter months, so water normally it's the villain for asphalt roads. It's number one negative material that affects roads. And
specifically the water getting under the surface,
yes.
Right, of the road.
So as any road develops cracks, this is normal with traffic going over it. Water can go into that into the subsoil through the surface, and then once you get water in there, in climates where we have freezing weather, we start getting water expanding into ice. That increases the space in between the soil and the water and the asphalt, sometimes between the asphalt top layer and the asphalt base course. That's when we start seeing some delaminating.
So it doesn't take much really to get in
there. No, when that happens and you have extra forces traveling over it, exerting some loads very specific to a small area, because the asphalt is flexible in that way, then you start getting crumbling asphalt and you start getting potholes.
And that's why you're seeing the potholes in the normal lane of travel, like where all the cars go, where all their tire tracks are.
Right.
And that's that's why we have the game that we have of sort of dodging the potholes, right?
Right.
Which is not real safe. I mean, that's why they need, not only that you want to protect your car from getting damaged and things, but also, you know, if you're watching the potholes rather than watching the road or watching other cars or pedestrians or things like that, it could be a very unsafe adventure out there.
Yes.
And so it's funny because we were talking with friends from Seattle last night, and we, you know, brought up the idea of potholes, and they were just in for a couple days, and they were saying, well, you know, we don't have that problem out in Seattle. And the reason is it doesn't really freeze that much out there. So they don't have a repeated, you know, freeze and thaw cycle where their roads are under that kind of pressure. They probably have other pressures, but you know, that's something that didn't have
water
to worry about.
Always. It's always the number one enemy of asphalt roads. It is, you know, 100 times worse where you have freezing weather because of that expansion factor.
And one of the myths out there is that snow plowing is part of what tears the roads apart. How much validity is there to that?
So I would say it has a 5% validity.
Okay.
So most
still
of the
has
action
an impact of some it, kind.
Yeah, but at that point, it's something that was already loose. It's a pothole that already developed. the plow will just knock it off,
yep.
right? Knock the top off and carry it out.
Right.
So, but the pothole was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was that final push
yeah.
that, you know, removed some surface
mm-hmm.
portion where a pothole developed.
So how important is the, like, preventative maintenance, the kinds of things like crack sealing and, you know, sort of taking care of the roads and preventing that water from getting in as much as you can, right? Because it's eventually all the roads are going to need service and work, and they last a certain amount of time and then they have to be redone. But you can maybe, you know, pinch a little bit more of life out of the roads by doing yeah. some of that preventative
so,
stuff.
So preventative maintenance, as you mentioned, crack sealing is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay attention to that very closely. So our roads that when you want to do crack sealing, you cannot do crack seal of a road that is really in need of replacing.
Mm.
You cannot use crack seal to prevent a road from being replaced.
Yeah.
So where, when it comes
be in
down,
the early days of the
yeah,
road, right?
You need to let's put a number. Mm. So you need to look at streets that have been paved for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start doing crack seal.
Okay.
Sometimes we might be developing sooner. What we look is at the cracking, the level of stress. You start seeing cracks earlier, then you might want to do that earlier.
Hmm.
With this type of weather, over the last couple of years, we have seen streets that we paved 2 years ago. They're developing cracks. It's like, this is unheard of,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not normal.
Hmm.
We're using the same methods. We're placing 2 inches of base cores, 1.5 inches of top cores. There's some, you know, variations from that,
mm-hmm.
minimal, but that's in general the amount of asphalt we put on our streets when we resurface. And
so the techniques, you know, and the materials haven't changed.
Right.
What's changed is that the roads are under more stress.
Yeah. Another thing that has changed in the last year and a half, 2 years, is the level of activity, not the traffic activity, mm-hmm. but the kind that hurts the roads by, you know, private contractors doing work on mm-hmm. the road. It's very necessary. This mm-hmm. These are things that we want to keep doing.
Yeah.
We want people to upgrade their sewer lines. We want people mm-hmm. to change their water lines.
And they have to sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. We need the gas company to replace aging infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are needed. We
yeah.
try to go right after them,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes we cannot coordinate enough. Yeah. We try to coordinate as much as we can.
I'll bet there's nothing more disappointing than seeing a freshly paved road and, like, 6 months later
right.
having a cut in the road because somebody needed to fix a sewer line or
right.
a gas line. But it does happen. It has to happen.
It has to happen.
Yeah.
We have a 5-year moratorium. So planned work, you know, things that can wait, will wait.
Yep.
And they need to wait 5 years. But even then, you're talking about a 5-year-old road that mm-hmm. now has some patchwork.
Right. One of the topics that's come up at city council meetings, specifically from Councilor Persip, was the fact that maybe some of the contractors aren't doing a great job when they patch the road. You know, what do you have to say about that? How do we police that?
I think we need to do better job at and following our standards.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure quality assurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that our contractors that are out there. I say our contractors,
yeah.
the contractors doing work for private, you know, citizens,
oh, right.
for individuals,
mm-hmm.
that they are following the city standards. And we have not been able to keep up with the amount of work, and we need to get to a point where we have someone. At this point, we need someone out there constantly, every single day, following private work.
Mm-hmm.
It is to that level. We
yeah.
have a lot of work, and even when they're not following private work, that person could be following on some of our own work,
mm-hmm.
following the contractors we hire to do work.
Mm-hmm.
We focus now on that because
mm-hmm.
that's something that we can control much more.
What are the kind of things that when a contractor does patch up something in the road that they get wrong? Right?
The compaction of the subsoil, yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, when they dig it all up, obviously got to get down a few feet to get to the
yeah.
pipes, whether they're gas pipes or water pipes or whatever.
So there's a few things, right?
Yeah.
Compaction is the first thing that comes to mind. It's one of those things that if you don't really witness it
mm-hmm.
and test, sometimes by witnessing, you can tell it's done correctly, but sometimes you have to test as well. You're not going to know whether it was done correctly or not.
Right. And you may not know for a number of months, right?
Yeah, sometimes
it might
year.
Look okay at first,
yeah,
and then eventually fails.
Right. Mm. And then the other thing that one of the things that we still have a good handle on, because it's a small portion of the overall patchwork, is the actual connection. So if it's a water or sewer work, mm-hmm. having that connection properly made.
Hmm.
So that is something that we have been able to keep up, and that takes that takes, you know, our guys from water and sewer on the streets, the collection and distribution teams, to go there and inspect the connection.
Yeah,
so after that, they're off to do something else.
Sure, but that has to be signed off on, right? Essentially,
yeah.
That when the connection's made, somebody has to put eyes on that and say, okay, you're ready to pack it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that sometimes is wrong is the dimensions of the patch.
Oh, interesting.
So we want some overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might think, well, maybe a small patch is better than a bigger patch. Mm. But sometimes that small patch is not large enough to overlap existing base.
Mm-hmm.
So our standards include those dimensions that you have to follow, you know, 1 foot overlap on all sides, for example. Sometimes they don't follow that.
Mm-hmm. And that would make everything smoother, essentially,
and
going down and driving, and you can almost hear the repetitive nature as you're driving over things. Like, okay, I'll hold a brace for this one. This one's going down. Okay, this one's going back up.
And the other part, you know, with a milder temperatures we've had overall this winter, our private utilities, gas, Eversource, they've been wanting to do, you know, trying to catch up on all the work they have to do. So they've been working through the winter. We usually have a ban, but you know what? It is a very difficult position that we would take if we were to tell the gas company not to replace something.
Mm.
And not to mention, we are waiting on them to do work on certain areas so that we can then follow up with a repaving of that street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 4th Street, Lyman. They're all under contract to be paved.
Mm.
They'll be paved this coming spring, as soon as Berkshire Gas is done. So if we don't allow them to be done and catch up with their work, they were also delayed last year because of the weather, same as we are. They need to be finished with that.
So the whole process can snowball. Basically, you have project upon project that needs to get completed, the same number of people essentially available to do all those things.
Right.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ricardo Morales. He is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities here in the city of Pittsfield. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. So when people see the potholes and areas of concern on the streets, I think a lot of times people reach to social media to complain about it, which must feel good, but I don't know if it always gets the results that they're looking for. What's the best way for people to let you know, your department know, that there's a problem, an issue on the street, and it needs to be repaired?
Yeah, so social media, like you said, I think it gives you that quick, feel good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I've shouted to the world about the pothole in front of my house. It doesn't really get to us.
Mm.
We cannot be expected to be following social media comments to extract from there the work we need to do. So we do have the PittSmart app.
Mm.
We do receive emails or phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
All those three things combined form what we know. And obviously what we see on the road.
Yeah.
So we know South Street is bad.
Mm-hmm.
We know Holmes Road is in bad shape. Mm-hmm. We know East Street, Outer North Street. These Crane Ave, Barker Road. We know where we need to do work.
Yeah.
70% of the things that come in are for those streets.
Mm.
And then you have your side streets and neighborhood streets where we need to do further work.
But I suppose there are some where if there's just this one annoying pothole on someone's, residential street, side street or something, and maybe, trucks or cars or something hit it all the time and the house hears that sound over and over and over, right?
They
that
need
would
to
be
report
a
that.
Perfect example of how they could report it.
They need to report that. And I know we need to do a better – we're working to improve how we – keep track of everything that comes in through PittSmart, for example. It is not one thing that I'm trying to see how we can solve this, because we cannot set a report that comes in, an issue mm-hmm. that comes in. We cannot put it as we're going to fix this in May mm-hmm. when it makes sense. Mm. There's no button that says preset. You know, we need to prioritize.
So in other words, the problem might sit there because it just doesn't make sense
right,
to
so,
fix it.
So I think the best way is to have certain messages, and before we set aside some timeline and expectations, that's probably where we need to go. We need to be better at setting the expectation with PitSmart. Mm-hmm.
But people
certain
can
things
track,
need to be done immediately.
People can sort of get feedback from it, though, about something that they've reported, right? That's fixed, and you can sort of
and it
log
can be tracked,
in. Yeah.
And we can get the we can communicate with the resident mm-hmm. with the citizen in that way. It logs everything in with a timestamp. Mm-hmm. So we do prefer having all these transactions happening in PitSmart.
And that includes things like streetlights being out as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
What are some of the other things? Obviously, nothing emergency. Like if you have an emergency, you need to
definitely
call. Just don't try and report it to.
So
PitSmart.
You know, streetlights, potholes, snow problems. So mm-hmm. when we rip out a mailbox by mistake, mm-hmm. or you know the snow load takes mm-hmm. a mailbox down, we can certainly take care of those things. Mm-hmm. You have. Issues with, in general, signage, trees, mm-hmm. Tree stump grinding, guardrails, those things.
Yeah, so all those things. So it's cityofpittsfield.org is the website, and you can navigate to the Department of Public Services or...
You can use the website mm-hmm. From your desktop or you know, laptop. You can... enter an issue, an item there in PitSmart, mm-hmm. or you can use your cell phone, your smartphone, and download the app PitSmart mm-hmm. and do it in that way.
There you go. So, Ricardo, tell me how, as the roads are under increased pressure, like we were talking about earlier, that means, right, that we're going to need to do more work to keep them in the condition that we're sort of expecting them to be. How do we keep up with things like that? Do we need to increase budgets to do more work on the roads, or is the answer the preventative maintenance like we were talking about? Because it seems like, you know, we're kind of getting ourselves cornered here a little bit.
The answer is a bit of both, right? We need mm-hmm. to improve what we have that needs improving in terms of resurfacing. Mm-hmm. There's streets that need resurfacing. At the same time, we need to do preventative maintenance. Mm-hmm. So we need to do both things. And like I said, you know, I've been here 6 years or close to 6 years now, and we are starting to get every single year of those six, we have been paving, you know, 7 to 10 miles a year.
Yeah.
So we need to start with crack sealing mm-hmm. on the first streets that I can remember paving, right? Mm. So
immediately you'll have to go back to those.
And we have done crack seal before. It's mm. not like we haven't done this. Last year we didn't do it because of the budgetary constraints. But we have done crack seal in streets that were paved before. Again, we cannot do crack seal for everything.
Right.
You know, a street that needs to be resurfaced will not, crack sealing will be money wasted.
Mm. But it seems like a good investment.
It will push
taxpayer
money.
Right?
Another thing we can do, and we might, you know, do this on streets. It's cheap, so we could do it anywhere really. Mm. It's fog seal, so it's a
fog seal.
It's called. It's a wide machine that sprays this asphaltic material mm-hmm. into the surface, sealing it essentially.
Huh. Similar to maybe what you might do to seal your own driveway.
Essentially.
But it's a thinner layer. But when you do the crack sealing, I've seen the crews out there, and they're actually physically finding the crack and putting material in there to seal that up. So this would be sort of a seal over the entire surface.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, you have to – it would cover line painting and all that, so you would have to repaint. Mm. So maybe the answer is to do it on streets that don't have any line painting, mm-hmm. like neighborhood streets. Mm-hmm. So we're evaluating where that is.
Interesting. So, yeah, always something to think about.
Yep.
It's something, as you mentioned, people expect from their local government, and it's something they see, you know, with their eyes as they get out of their house and drive somewhere, and it's, it's right in front of you. Snow plowing season, not as much of a big deal so far this year, right? We haven't had as many big events, knock on wood somewhere, that we saw in previous years.
We're going to certainly, you know, yes, please, knock on wood. But it's not over.
Yeah.
I know what the groundhog said, but we do not believe it, right? We cannot believe that. Mm-hmm. We need to prepare for the worst, and the worst could come in March.
Yeah,
right?
And we see some big ones in March.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not over. We have had many. At this point, I think around 15 events. So meaning you might not be thinking, it hasn't snowed that much, so they haven't been out there. We have been out there. Mm-hmm. There's mornings that we had a dusting, or there's mornings where we had to put down some material because it was very slick and there was a lot of water that froze.
Yep.
So that is very important to keep up. A couple weeks ago, last week, we were on 12-hour shifts for like 4 days.
Right.
Just because we needed to maintain the weather was a little wacky, mm-hmm. and the freezing of all the water was something to be we needed to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And if you hear those trucks out there and you don't think anything is about to happen, you're probably wrong. guys probably know more about what's about to happen. You hear the weather forecast and you know that it's a certain temperature, you know that rain is coming or whatever, but you guys are thinking about, okay, what's the impact to the roads and when is this about to hit? And I noticed also this year there was some, they call it brining, or they're sort of prepping the streets if they were dry already to have some sort of a coating so that when this precipitation does fall and freeze, you can
take care of that. We have the liquid magnesium chloride. Mm. We also have pre-treated magnesium chloride salt in our shed, and we have regular rock salt.
So just another tool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have, this year we see very weird winter events. Mm. So the other day we were in cleanup mode, and all of a sudden we get calls that in outer northwest side of Pittsfield, it snowed overnight, and no one, it wasn't in our radars. We didn't know. So even when that happens, we might still, it didn't happen anywhere else. Mm. We were thinking it was maybe some wind, drifting snow from the lakes, but it happened in places where you might not expect that. So we were thinking like it definitely snowed here, and it needed to be removed.
And we have, different elevations and things in Pittsfield. So, even at a difference of a few hundred feet from here to there, it could be the difference in temperature that makes it snow somewhere and rain somewhere else.
And then, for example, this Sunday, it's going to be raining.
Mm.
Some rain, right? It's in the radar. We're expecting some rain. What that means for us is with the freezing temperatures, we know we're going to have to be out there at night dealing with some ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to drain some material. That's going to, we need to ensure that these roads are safe to drive.
Right. We're speaking here with Ricardo Morales. He is the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. And I think that's enough for potholes. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about in the second half. I know there's some big projects that the city's involved with or about to be involved with. We're going to talk about that. Maybe talk about the road list for 2024, if that's out yet. I don't even know. We'll ask Ricardo about that in the second half. And maybe some reimagining of some of the areas that were affected by urban renewal. And also talk about the newsletter. We'll start out with that right after the break that we take here in the morning. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. We will be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
It's a revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
We are Rotary, people of action, and we add our support to great ideas to make real change happen. Whether supporting the local warm coat drive, fighting hunger with our local food pantries, or making more transformational gifts like the splash pad at Clapp Park, Pittsfield Rotary is having fun and raising funds to change lives. Join us at our weekly lunches and get involved. Take action with us. Visit RotaryPittsfield.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
People tune in to hear the latest local and national news.
That's not us.
People tune in to hear the latest music.
That's definitely not us.
People tune in to hear political pundits expound on politics.
No, that's not us.
How about people tune in to hear entertaining stories, jokes, odd topics, and laughter?
Oh, yeah, that's us. That's Stuff.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 to listen to the latest Stuff with Bev Prentice and Lynn Arsenault on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at parksquareproductions.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you again, live and local in our 4 Federico Drive studio here in Pittsfield. Glad to have you back with us on the show. Ricardo Morales, our guest this morning, Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities for the City of Pittsfield. And we're going to go into a lot more public works stuff here. If you missed the pothole discussion, I'm sure we'll have it again sometime. But we've got so much to talk about here, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. First, one more look at the weather from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 40s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind around 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, there you have it. Nice and sunny for a couple days anyway. Maybe some rain, as we're hearing on Sunday. And I'm hearing further out than that, with potential for a snowstorm on Tuesday. We'll see. Models are, from what I'm hearing, mixed on that at best. So could miss us completely, or we could have a few inches. But
that's still 10 days out.
So. 10, yeah. Well, who cares, right?
Right.
It'll happen. If it happens, you're on it.
Yeah.
Thanks again for being here, Ricardo. Appreciate you being here to talk
glad
about
to be
all
here.
These interesting, and people care about this stuff. They really do. I'm sure you hear it all the time. Let's talk about your efforts to communicate with residents and in the form of a newsletter and the social media efforts that you've been doing. So there's a new version, a new episode of the newsletter, I guess, edition,
yeah. Issue. Yeah.
And let's take a look at that. So for our TV viewers, we are going to put that on the screen. It's available on the city's website. Again, cityofpittsfield.org, right?
Cityofpittsfield.org under the Department of Public Services, also under the Department of Public Utilities. And the first link on the left, the works, it's the newsletter's name.
There it is right there for you to see. Again, our radio listeners won't appreciate it, but we'll talk you through it. And it looks like about 5 or 6 pages worth of all kinds of interesting information about the public works efforts here in the city.
We could do some Radiolab description.
Yeah, exactly. The theater of the mind, as it were. But I'll just scan through for the TV folks, and you can kind of see you got some interesting charts and graphs there, a couple of good articles. What's in it for this issue?
This issue, we cover 3 main topics. We talk about, as I call it, the first page is usually the editorial page where we communicate some ideas. We communicate what our intentions are. In this case, it's very much, I put my name down there because I feel passionate about this, and I feel the public is behind what this means. And we're talking about urban renewal and what, let me say that again, urban renewal and what the future for that area that received the urban renewal 50 years ago might be.
And we're talking mainly about that West Street area, right?
Correct.
Around near where the Big Y is and Jubilee Hill and the West Street sort of interchange with the government drive there to the right.
Right. Yeah. So West Street, Center Street, Government Drive, College Way, that highway-esque type infrastructure.
Highway to nowhere.
Right. The highway to another street. Yeah. And you know, in the process when urban renewal was conceived, they were envisioning many other things connecting through Pittsfield, essentially. And I'll use that word, in that context. But really what was going on was this vision of building overpasses that would go over Pittsfield and not necessarily, half Pittsfield as a destination, right?
It's connect to a bypass that never happened.
Right,
start from the turnpike
and
make its way north.
So most of it was never built.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I'm going to say that we are fortunate because many cities, that was the reality. It was built neighborhoods. Lots of neighborhoods were plowed through and demolished, and that never happened in Pittsfield except for what we're talking about, that west side section immediately west of the downtown. Mm-hmm. So it could have been much worse. Mm-hmm. Highways through Springside Park, highways through the Springside and Morningside neighborhoods, highways through more parts of the west side community.
And up through the north end. Right?
Correct.
From of the plans that I had seen from that time period.
So all of that was being planned, never happened. The only thing that did occur was what we see now, where the Big Y is, where the, West Street, Center Street, College Way, Government Drive area. Mm-hmm. And that was sad, right? Mm-hmm. It's still bad that it did happen because it meant that all of the streets that were there, all of the people that lived there, all the businesses, the community that was there, gone.
Yeah.
In a span of a few years. And
I don't know if it was a lack of vision or just a wrong choice, right? I mean, there was certainly a vision. It just didn't turn out to be the vision that was a productive thing.
It is the wrong vision, thinking about the places we have as places for moving vehicles instead of places for people to be around.
Yep.
And when you start thinking about that, you're going to be left without a place.
Which, of course,
everything will be a road.
I'm sure the designers and visionaries from the 40s and 50s, while the automobile was this growing and big thing for America in general, that was what they were visioning, right?
Right.
Was getting cars to and from, and seems perfectly reasonable for the time.
Correct. And it's unfortunate, right?
Yeah.
But that's the reality. And I think the important part about all of this is we have opportunities now we can think, we can come together as a community and think what our future Pittsfield looks like, what our future Western downtown looks like, reconnecting these communities. And we have, there's opportunities now to seek funding to make this a reality. It was federal funds that made urban renewal possible.
Right.
And right now, recognizing that, federal funds are also being made available to make deconstructing of the urban renewal mistakes possible as well.
Yeah. So what does that process look like for Pittsfield, and how do we start that? Is it a conversation? Is it where the community comes together and says, what do we want to see now in that area?
I think that part has started, and we need to give more fire to that part, right? We need that to grow. I think it's one of the most important prongs of the support that will be important to make this a reality. We need the community to be with coming together with the same vision for this to happen.
Yeah.
The other part,
and that can be hard sometimes,
right?
Come together and actually come together on one issue, one idea of how things will work.
Right. Yeah. We've seen that started with the work, by Tessa Kelly, the local architect, doing work with Princeton architectural students. They've reimagined what that can look. There was a couple of events in the last few months. The last one was a couple Saturdays ago. It was amazing. A lot of people were there.
Yeah.
A lot of people with the same mentality. They from the community, from Pittsfield, they want to see this as a reality. And then the other part, very important part, is looking for, going after the funds.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that we need to submit. There's programs out there. It's called the Reconnecting Communities, federal funds, federal grants. And we have the full intention. I have the full intention of going after at least the planning, starting with the planning funds.
It's a fascinating conversation, and obviously will take years to develop and to realize, right, to actually come to a reality of how that might work. But it has to start somewhere.
Right.
And that's kind of what the work is. What else do you talk about in the newsletter this year?
Yeah, in the newsletter we talk about the, spotlighting, a highlight of the COVID sampling that we do at the wastewater. It's, I did not want to miss an opportunity to share with the community the hard work that we have been doing since June of 2020. We were one of the first communities in Massachusetts to do this early in the pandemic, and we still do it thanks to funds that have been made available by the state. This is an invaluable asset to the medical community. They can see, especially now where there's not enough, there's really not much testing going on that is documented.
Right.
More and more
not people like are in the testing early days.
More and more people are just testing at home. So what you see is, sewage testing for detection of COVID is the main one of the main sources of monitoring the community as a whole.
And I would think they get some pretty good information from that, of knowing what's coming.
They can make decisions with that information. They can staff appropriately. They can, now it might not be as crucial or critical as before, but, we did have a big surge in the last month.
Yeah.
So we saw that with the sewage testing.
Yeah.
We were able, medical the medical world in the Berkshires was able to prepare thanks to that.
And that's something that goes on that people don't even realize, which is another good reason to get it out there in the newsletter. And, I think people also appreciate, if you haven't friended or followed the City of Pittsfield's Facebook page, if you're a Facebook fan, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on Facebook, you can learn a lot that way, if you sort through the other stuff that's on Facebook, that you do post some pictures of, like, the road crews going out and filling the potholes and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's important for people to see, what goes on if you're not following that real closely.
So right after this, I'm going to be going to the highway yard. We're going to have a specific training on a new piece of equipment that was approved last year, ordered last year. We got it 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
What's that? And it's a bigger hot box. It's a it will improve how we can do potholes. We can cook more asphalt in wintertime with this before the plants are open.
Yeah, that's why it's important, right?
So we have one. Yeah, we have a small one, and we can use that. But the one that we just got about 3 weeks ago, we're getting trained on at 9. So after this, I'm going there. I'm going to take some videos. I'm going to take some pictures, post that to you know, give that to be placed on social media so that people are aware of what's going on. This piece of equipment, we needed to be trained much earlier. But listen, we were on 12-hour shifts, and we had if it wasn't that, it was raining. And if it wasn't that, it was snowing.
Yeah.
So we have had to postpone the training 5 times.
Oh, wow. But something like that will help being able to have the material that you need to fill those potholes during the time when the asphalt plants are shut down.
Right.
And you just it isn't the same as the old the cold patch we hear about, which is a very temporary solution.
Cold patch, it works
okay.
Works good because for what it is, right? Yeah, yeah. It allows us to do quick repairs that will last a few, you know, a couple months. And then you have to fix that properly.
Yeah.
You know, with the hot box, it's going to let us do some good work. It's still challenging, right? So we want to be trained accordingly.
Yeah. Ricardo Morales is our guest here this morning on Morning Drive. Let's talk about some of the big projects the city is going to be seeing this year. As we're here sitting here in February and talking about potholes, there's going to be some really big things going on, right?
Right.
I think you have some breaking news this morning. So let's talk about that.
A couple of days ago, we received notice that the PEX Road Bridge design has been approved by the state.
That's amazing.
This is under Chapter 85, so you have some background hoorah and effects
for,
there.
For people in those
neighborhoods. This is the right time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yeah. So it's been long in the making. We have been working to get this design approved for years, 3 years now, and it's been challenging to getting this approved by the state under Chapter 85. We're there.
Mm-hmm.
So our plans is to finalize the bid documents, get it out to bid within the next month, and have a contractor ready for construction season.
That's great.
And that's going to be going on PEX Road this year.
And then what does that repair actually look like? Is it something where you have to close the bridge down to repair it, or will you have like a lane open one side and then the other, or will it be more like what they had to do with Holmes Road Bridge? That was a bigger one, right?
It's bigger. Yeah. In this case, we're still debating on what the best course is in terms of that, but we're going to be most likely not fully closing it.
Okay. Well, that'll be...
We'll communicate
that'll be a happy thing for people.
Yeah.
Because nothing...
That's what you have there right now.
Yeah. But sometimes it's necessary. Like Holmes Road.
Right.
It was just necessary to close that bridge for a certain amount of time.
The train had a major impact there.
Yeah.
What it allows to do something like that is to fix it in a much faster way, right? You prolong the construction duration if you don't close it altogether.
Right. Other big projects coming up, we know the Upper North Street near BMC and Stoddard Ave. People driving through there, that's probably one of the most heavily driven areas in the entire county, right? That one little corridor, that's going to see some major change this year.
So we have a contractor. This is a state project. It will be a state-run project with our involvement, definitely. Mm-hmm. We ran the design effort, again, with approval by the state. Mm-hmm. And you know, the design firm is Fuss & O'Neill. They're going to be the CA, the construction administration team, and the state is doing the construction supervision, and the contractor Maximilian will be doing the work on that area. I'm really excited for this. It's been 10 years since this project started in the conception side. With talks with BMC, how to improve the entrances to BMC, with talks to, you know, with the DOT, how to fund this project.
It's a complex area.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a reality now. It will include the intersections of Springside and North, Stoddard and North, Charles and North, North and First, First and Tyler, North and Wacona, and First and Burbank.
So that's a huge project, really, right? And when is that expected to actually get underway? And then how long will it eventually?
You might already be seeing people moving around, marking things. We have We have the utility work will be the first thing to get on their way, moving poles, moving some underground utilities, extending some of that work. And then right after that, you're going to start seeing some deconstruction, rerouting of traffic. And then likely what we see now in the schedule is next year is when you'll see the roundabout go in at the intersection of North and First.
Okay. And so all of 24, probably most of 25, and finishes up maybe
by the end of 25.
By the end of 25. Yeah. So that's what people can expect in that area. A couple of other projects happening. Valentine Road, I know a lot of people travel that. If you've got students at Taconic High School, you know it's a little bit of a minefield there, and there have been a couple different projects there. So that's something that's going to be seeing some work this year.
Yeah, so we're wrapping up on the water line this year, and then we are behind Eversource to make sure that they pave the work they did adequately.
Yep.
And then after that,
because that's all underground electric utilities
right,
in that area.
Right. Yeah. After that, we have, we've always, like we said, we go right after contractors or utilities. So we're in discussions right now to see if this is the right moment to resurface what was done there.
Yeah. So that is it better to have underground utilities or above ground utilities? Probably some good and some bad for each.
Yeah, there's a lot of resiliency that comes with underground utilities, increased resiliency. So that is definitely good.
So trees aren't going to fall on them, take the electric wires down, knock everybody out for a while.
Right.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, it comes with challenges, especially with coordinating and if in places where you have a lot more stuff around. So, for example, Berkshire Gas had some leaks in Fenn and North. Mm-hmm. This past week,
right,
and or last week actually, and they essentially found out that the gas was leaking into electrical duct banks.
Oh,
so essentially, you
something about that tells me that's not good,
right? So it's all addressed, it's all been repaired, but it took them a long time because it's all underground and it's all. You know, it's a spaghetti bowl of things going on under the surface
and
that you never.
Probably a lot of old utility work there, too.
Yes.
Like hundreds of
they
years
had to
old.
Cap an old piece of infrastructure, utility that was not being used, and it was also being a conduit for that gas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so.
And I'll bet they find things when they get under there they weren't expecting,
right? This is all low pressure gas, so it wasn't an immediate threat or anything like that, and they would have communicated that otherwise. But that's, it's still something that impacts our urban.
And that's in a very busy downtown area.
Exactly.
So when you have to shut a street like that down, that impacts a lot of people. Yeah. Let's talk about the last one on my list here was Dan Casey Drive and the causeway. Again, a long-term issue. Probably won't be resolved this year, it sounds like.
So we continue discussions with Boston, with DOT on the bridge side. They're looking for some design considerations that we do not feel are necessary, but they're holding a lot of the money in form of grants. It is not all of the money, so that means whatever comes extra, we need to come up with that fund. So we're in discussions. It's a long process. It started at the same time as Pex Road. We had Pex Road approved. Dan Casey is still not in that stage, but we're still working on it.
A lot of stuff.
One other thing that I want to mention is, we're getting more information, but we are going into some design, finishing the design work for the Barker Road Bridge. So that's
another long-term.
Right. That one is.
That might even be before.
A proper bridge.
Yeah.
So it's a bridge over 20 feet, so we cannot go on, for grants, for small bridge grants and all that, that we did for Pex Road, for example.
Oh, that's interesting.
But in this case.
It's the dimension of the bridge that changes whether you can get that funding?
Right.
Huh.
So in this case, what we're going for is getting funding for a design to finish that. It's a costly thing to do, and then funds through some federal or state programs to get it built.
Wow. So lots of still projects going on beyond the potholes that you see. There are things that are always in the works and in various stages.
Do I have more time to talk about more projects?
Yeah, I got a couple
so,
more
yeah,
in there.
We have, you know, we're working with the state to get the East Street between Lyman and Merrill Road start, you know, bid that work in October.
Oh, wow. It's,
that is a very important area to complete. Yeah. And if we get that
another
through,
heavily used corridor,
that's going to be under construction next year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So wow. October is the deadline to get that under bid, under contract. And we had some meetings with, you know, GE, one of GE borders both sides in right. that area, and you know the state yesterday we're trying to solve some issues, and then
but that's a critical one too, right, for everything that's going on with the PETA site and with the William Stanley Business Park. You've got possibly new tenants
right.
coming in, you've got all the work going on site 9. There's a corridor, a road that's really has to service that,
right? And then, you know, at the same time we are going to finalize some designs concepts and then present it to the community for West Street that we were talking last year about.
Seems like last week.
Yeah. All in 1 week. So expect that, you know, in the first, you know, maybe the first few weeks of March, we're going to have some design sessions with the community to talk about what that looks like and then put it out to bid.
And that affects the area from, let's say, the junction there of West Street and West Street. And then
just before that.
Yeah, and then how far down West Street to Valentine Road. So that could be a very major project if that comes through.
Right.
Yeah. And is that contingent on funding or design?
Yeah, so we need to go to the city council once we have some designs set in stone, get that funding underway. And I've been in conversation with the mayor already to see what that looks like. Do we take it from, you know, free cash? Do we borrow for that? Do we use public works stabilization? There's a few you know, sources that we could request to be used.
But again, a major thoroughfare and has had some pedestrian safety issues, right?
Important. That's the main reason we want to get this done.
Yeah. Yep, and you do have a lot of pedestrian and foot traffic in that area.
Definitely.
Maybe even more than some of the other corridors that we just talked about.
Right.
Right? So in a way, you have to design that area for, you know, the use that you've got.
And the last thing is back to East Street, East Street between 4th and Elm and Lyman. We paved that a thin layer of new asphalt last year. To get it, you know, passable.
Because it was really bad, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But we are designing a continuation of the redevelopment of that area into, you know, to match with the work that the state is doing so that we can do that work right after them.
But we probably won't see any more paving on the rest of East Street until this project gets underway.
We will definitely fix the potholes.
Yeah.
Yes, but it won't be because it's going to be done next year. So we won't be repaving that.
Yep. And that is one of those areas that takes a lot of heavy traffic too, right?
Yes.
Truck traffic, the kinds of traffic that
shakes
causes,
a house.
Shakes a house and doesn't do any favors to the asphalt.
Absolutely
I would imagine.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's always tough. And you know, you see the memes every once in a while about how the Roman roads were so much better. Well, they didn't have 40-ton trucks, right?
I mean,
it just it's a different world that we're living in now. We're building things for a different world. Well, you know, Ricardo Morales, we didn't get really into traffic calming because I did want to talk about that. But I know we've talked about that in previous shows and trash and recycling.
So I'll briefly say on traffic calming, we got the Safe Streets for All grant, $310,000. That money will be used to develop a safety toolkit, develop a safety action plan, and implement some pilot projects on some of our most problem intersections. And that's the goal is to have a set of standards that will be adopted by the legislative body, the city council, put together by the administration.
And when you say problem intersections, those are the ones with the accidents.
Yeah. East Housatonic.
You've got the data on it.
Yes.
I think the other one is Valentine and Lakeway, for example.
Yeah. Yep.
Some places like that.
Yep.
So, All right. Well, Ricardo Morales, again, thank you for being here. I can't believe we're at the end of the show already. It goes so fast.
Yeah.
Every time we get into this, we talk about stuff, and I've got too many things. But right. We'll have you back. We'll talk more about it as the spring and summer months come along and some of these projects get going.
Yes. So, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. And thanks, everybody, for joining us on Morning Drive. Brian Burkle will be our host tomorrow morning. And we'll have another show on Morning Drive. And then it's the weekend. It's already here. All right. Talk to you soon, everybody. Take care.